TalkZone.com.
A streak of fire, a breath of flame, eluding all who reach and clutch. A gray ghost thrown into the game that rival hands may never touch. A rubber-bounding, blasting soul whose destination is the goal, Red Grange of Illinois by Grantland Rice. For many of us, names like Butkus, Nitschke, and Grange are more than mere players on a field. They represent the history, the glory, and the spirit of a university that has contributed so much to this country and has made our lives rich beyond anything we may offer in return. If Virginia belongs to Jefferson, then surely the land-grant legislation proposed and signed by Abraham Lincoln in 1865 gave birth to his home state university in 1867 and countless other institutions for the people, of the people, and by the people. We are the living legacy of Father Abraham's great institution. Sons and daughters of Illinois, our renaissance, in the words of Ron Gunther, is now. From Chicago, the greatest sports city in America, we are proud to bring you Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Good afternoon, Illini Nation. Good December 29th. You're Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Those were the dulcet tones of Mr. G, and they might be the only tones you hear in the next couple weeks as he's on vacation. So I'm trying to steer the ship all by myself, but we'll be joined by a lot of fans and a lot of contributors we've had on the show, and we're going to have a real fun time today. We're going to talk about our ball club, 12-1 going into the conference season. We'll talk about the Missouri game. We'll talk about the Eastern Michigan game. We'll talk about the upcoming Purdue and Michigan games, and it's holiday hoop seasons. We'll talk a lot about future Illini. Brad Sturdy from Rivals is going to be joining us in about 20, 30 minutes as he hits the road between Pekin and Pontiac, covering Tracy Abrams this morning. I believe in Pontiac this afternoon. He'll see Brandon Paul and Warren and also Jeremy Richmond and Waukegan a little later this evening. Before we get started Talking Illini, you know the number, 888-463-6748, or email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. This is our 19th show of our inaugural season and the last of 2008. And with that, we have to thank some people that got us going here. First, the people at TalkZone, Chris Whitting and Dave Olson especially. Our major sponsor, Joe Rizza Auto Dealerships, RizzaCars.com, WildfireRestaurants.com, part of the Let Us Entertain You chain with locations in Chicago, Oak Brook, Lincolnshire, Schaumburg, and Glenview, as well as Eden Prairie, Minnesota, Atlanta, Georgia, and McLean, Virginia. Also, AXA advisor Stephen King in the Chicago area at 847-291-3669. Greg Fisher at 847-681-4173 of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage Services. Website gregshouses.com. SunTrackerChairs.com. LPAC Athletic Club, a new sponsor, and last but not least, Lou Malnati's. And we also have a couple Malnati's gift certificates left, as well as Wildfire gift certificates to a lucky caller or emailer at talkingillini@yahoo.com or giving us a call at 888-463-6748. Finally, I want to thank Kent Brown from the Illini Sports Information Office and his staff. They've been very helpful throughout the year in getting us started. And Ed Bond from the Illini Sports Network in providing the highlights that we've heard throughout the year. So it's basketball season, but you would have thought we might have made a bowl game if you were watching ESPN over the weekend. There was Illini highlights left and right, except they were all, Missouri going in for a score on us, Penn State going in for a score on us. Who else did we have? USC from a year ago going in for a score on us. It was enough to make me bubble up my eggnog a little, I'll tell you. I it really got me going there, and hopefully that's the last of Illini football we'll see. Although I have a very bad feeling that tonight, when we if we turn into the Missouri Northwestern game, which I will be doing, I'll be rooting for the Wildcats. But I have a feeling we might be seeing a few more of highlights with the orange and blue in them, you know, missing some tackles and the opponents getting into the end zone. But enough of that for now. We're going to move on to basketball. I want to make a correction. You know, when we make a mistake, we stand corrected. And last week we had a terrific interview with Kendall Gill. We got great response from it. Kendall's an old favorite of most Illini. And Mr. G thought he had a stat where Kendall was the last 20-point scorer, averaging 20 a year for the Illini. And a loyal listener who titles himself Illini Bond emailed in and corrected us. He said that in 2003, Brian Cook averaged 20 points a game right on the button. So thank you, Illini Bond, for correcting us. And we did, you know, I remember Mr. G was checking that, and he thought Brian Cook was a little less. He must have missed a year on the line or something. They, you know, that happens, you know, at our age when the reading goes and the lines and copies get smaller. But he didn't think Brian Cook had 20. Illini Bond corrected us. And in 2003, Brian Cook had 20 points. So I'm sure Kendall doesn't mind, and he'll be happy about that, because his response was, well, let's get a few more, you know. Now, Illini Bond also had a couple questions I wanted to address. You know, also when you email or call, let us know what kind of topics you want us to discuss, who you want to talk to, coaches, players, parents we've had, media people. Illini Bond has a few subjects here. Asking about talking to Chicago Public League coaches about the basketball program, asking about how influential street agents and shoe companies are, asking about the Sharon Collins recruiting and why all of a sudden he seemed to be a last-minute loss to Kansas. Also asked about maybe getting an interview with Dee Brown. And finally, I'll address this one first. Some of these others we'll address later with our guests or at a later show when Mr. G might be back. But Illini Bond asked, is Coach Weber's job safe if he does not make the NCAA tourney this year and next, even though he has some very good recruiting classes coming in? You know, that's a really tough question. Personally, I think we'll make the tournament this year and next and in many years to come. That last year was just a blip on the radar. And everyone might try to think back to the year after we went to the Final Four. Majority of people across the country didn't think we'd make it back to the tournament that year. And we not only made it that year, but we made it 2 years after that. Missed last year for a variety of reasons, some that were out of our control. But the way we're playing now, it'll be close, but I'd like to think we're going to make it this year. And certainly, if we don't make it this year, we will make it next year. And Illini Bond and Illini fans and Illini Nation shouldn't have to worry about that anymore. And I think with that and with the recruits coming in, which we're going to talk a lot about today, that Coach Weber's job is safe. And I think also this year, if you're paying attention, you will see the type of coach, the type of quality coach Bruce Weber is, and how he gets out of his players to end up at least 1 point ahead of the opponent at the end of the game. I want to refer to a preseason publication that covered the conferences and talked about us. And this will be a couple paraphrasing here to finalize this thought from Illini Bond's question. It starts out the article by saying it all fell apart last year for the Fighting Illini after one of the best stretches any Big Ten program has had. Nearly everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong last year. So let's remember that after one of the best stretches any Big Ten program has ever had. And that's, you know, where we were. We had one small blip on the radar, and now we're coming back. Another interesting point in this article, the thing that people forget about Weber is he was an assistant under Gene Cady for 19 seasons. Anyone who spends that long as an assistant and that long with Cady is tougher than his critics. And Weber, even though he's got that nice guy persona, you talk to people that have observed practices, and we're going to talk to someone in a moment who has observed practices and knows Coach Weber, has sat down in his kitchen table, I believe. He's a heck of a coach. And finally, it concludes, Illinois could finish anywhere from fourth to eighth in the Big Ten without raising eyebrows. But Weber knows how to win with three-guard lineups. No one's saying he has Darren Williams, D. Brown, and Luther Head again, but he doesn't have a 19-loss team either. So there you have it. The program's on the rise, playing very well. We'll talk about if we've met expectations, we're playing over our heads, is maybe are we being deceived a little by an easy schedule, but we'll get to all those points. I want to bring in, we've got a caller. Our first guest is none other than our good friend Chris Scriffy down in St. Louis. Chris, how are you today?
Just fine. How you guys doing?
Great. Thanks for calling in. There's only one of us here today. Mr. G gets a two-week vacation, so I got to, you know, carry the load. But we're talking a lot today. We want to talk about the Missouri game and the Eastern Michigan game, you know, yesterday, and look ahead to the conference opener tomorrow. So as long as we got you on the line, let's first talk about the Missouri game. You were there, row 1, 2, 3, 4 behind the bench?
We had first row right behind the bench.
Okay, so you'll be able to tell. Can you take us in a couple of those huddles? Could you hear what was going on, what was being said? Actually, I guess the way the game was going, it must have been a little fun, probably some, you know, nice fun things said compared to maybe yesterday.
I didn't get to see the game yesterday, so I don't have a whole lot to compare. But
well, you didn't miss much.
They were pretty pleased with the Mizzou game. I mean, it was just about. I thought they just played spectacular. Now Mizzou was very cold. Don't get me wrong, God, you could have given them 2 points for hitting the backboard. I still think Illinois would have won. So they just executed and hit some shots. And you know, you do that right, and man, you're gonna win a few ball games.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because as watching it, you know, I didn't think that we were playing that tremendous defense. I thought Missouri got plenty of decent looks. They just were clanking them off, and we were able to rebound and run a little and get some easy baskets.
Yeah, but they were prepared. I mean, they were prepared for those traps, and they were prepared for that press. And there was a couple turnovers, but not very many. And they were ready to go. And, like you said, Mizzou was just cold. And, I mean, they didn't hit a three till 4 or 5 minutes left in the game. And if you're going to play that style and not hit your threes, you're in for some long games, I think, personally. But, you know, and then you play a team that's a little more traditional with a motion offense and execute. And they got after it, and they just took it to them.
Yeah, in the first half, Missouri shot 30% while we were shooting 55, and on the game they ended up at 37 while we ended up at 57. So it was one of those nights where everything went well for the Illini.
Absolutely.
When you and Tyler go to those games and sit behind the Illini bench, what kind of conversations do you have as far as what's going on? Do you just kind of sit back and watch and maybe let Tyler make some comments to you, or do you point out to him what the big guys are doing and you know, watch that because you got to do that next year? What kind of conversations might you have?
No, you know, we really don't talk about it a whole much. I mean, he took a couple buddies from the team down, and I sat with my wife off to the side, and we don't. But I do always remind him. I said, just look at how hard those guys are playing. I said, that's something that I see is such a big difference. And you see that in every level. You know, you look at a freshman high school game and then a sophomore and then a varsity game, and then you see these guys. And every one of them just gets after it is just they're going 110%, and I try to relay that to him a lot and reemphasize that. So, you know, it doesn't, you know, if you're doing something wrong out there, they're just playing so dang hard. It just, I'm impressed with that every time I go out, every time I watch them. And you know, I'm sure Coach Weber has a lot to do with it. He had those boys. I know he used some tips and tricks to get them up for that game. And they treat that game, those coaches are, they treat that game as like a conference game, like a tournament game. That is a big game to those teams.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's the one thing the kids have to realize, and the more games they go to and sit as close to the court as they can, they will see that, you know, it's a whole different ball game at the next level. And it's one thing, you know, as we read the chat boards and we attend some games that we, and even, you know, with existing players, we wonder about the 100% intensity and effort every time. It's very hard to do. You know, McCamey and Davis have been talked about this week in terms of not showing up for the second half at the Missouri game or the game before, and then yesterday, of course. And I guess for young kids that's a difficult thing, but if they can get that, and even starting at the high school level, because, you know, I mean, all of our recruits are doing very well, but, you know, a lot of the knock is that, you know, they don't play hard all the time, and there's no reason not to. And I remember when I saw Dimitri the first time in high school, he was a junior, and, you know, he played for... a coach that's been around forever, that coached Isaiah Thomas, and it's a storied program that usually has 20-plus wins every year and goes deep into the state tournament. And this particular night, they were playing just, another conference foe that really had no business being on the court with them, but they played down to their level, and as a timeout was called in the fourth quarter, and Dimitri and his teammates, one of which was Evan Turner, who's now doing very well at Ohio State, and another kid named Jonathan Peoples, who's a year ahead of them at Notre Dame, came off the court, and the coach was getting in his face and you know, trying to get him fired up, and he just kind of, you know, he barely looked at him, walked to the end of the bench, got a cup of water, and I'm sitting there with my friends going, you know, this is the guy we're getting? You know, I can't believe it. So if you can impress upon your son, and he can, about his future teammates, to just get it going every possession, you know, that's what makes or breaks a championship team.
Absolutely, and it's not just, you know, when you have the ball, when you're setting a pick. I mean, just the cuts and the screens everything they do is just. I mean, they are just. You just see this, the intensity on them, and I just, you know, that's the one thing I try to tell them. I said it's a whole other level, and you know, not only do you do that in the games, obviously, but you got to bring that every day in practice to let the coaches know you're ready. It's just hard. I mean, it is hard, but they have to be able to step it up to that next level and just go. When they're on the court, it is all business, and it's as hard as I can go all the time.
And the exciting thing about it is that there's going to be so much depth that, again, they're, if they want to see playing time, they're going to have to bring it in practice and hopefully help to get each other better as well.
You betcha. You betcha. I mean, they you know, people keep asking me, is Tyler going to see any time? And I go, it's not whether he will. It's just how hard he practices. It depends on how he practices and shows the coaches he's ready. I mean,
yeah, and that'll be an interesting situation to follow next fall. You know, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but that's what we like to do here. You know, Tisdale and Semrau to me are improving, and Semrau takes a bad rap, but I'm in his corner because for all practical purposes, he's a freshman out there, and he's a big body that you need him. And I saw some things in the Missouri game that don't show up in the box score, but certainly it shows that he's helping and being a factor on the court with picking and boxing out. There was a backdoor play where Meacham got the ball on the left baseline in for an uncontested layup, and that wouldn't have happened if Semrau hadn't screened his guy out who couldn't get through him to try to contest Meacham on the drive. So with the two of them, and of course you have Davis and Keller, and we're going to talk to Brad Sturdy in a short while. You know, there's a guy not a lot of people are talking about, but I'm excited that He's not playing this year, and it'll have 4 years starting next year, hopefully, and that's Dan Simpson. So it's going to be pretty crowded up there in the front line, but also as time is going on, people are saying that, Tyler's going to be able to compete and see some significant minutes next year.
Well, and you know, just to say the same thing, I hope so. And it's all going to be on him though. It's not anybody else. It's on him. And as soon as he gets the message, he could get lost in the shuffle. A lot of kids do. He may not get it. He may, but it's as soon as they get the message, man, all I got to do is play as hard as I can. And, you know, as soon as I learn that, I mean, everything else I think will take care of itself.
Right, absolutely. One more quick minute, one more quick question, Chris, and we thank you for hopping on today. How's Tyler's season going? I see some reports on the tourney over the last couple days. They had a tough game a day or two ago, I guess. How's the team doing? How's the season going for Tyler so far?
Well, it's okay. We had a pretty good start to the tournament. We were a 3 seed, and we got to play a 6 or 14 seed or whatever, and handled them pretty easily. But then we took a tough one last night. One of those grinded out games. Nobody could get into a flow, low scoring, and we're going to see that a lot. They pressure us, and we have a little trouble getting the ball into the big hands at the right moment. We can get it to them, at the high post or something like that, but that's not the most advantageous to it's not where you want to get it all the time. You'd like to be able to get it on the block once in a while. So we're struggling with that, but I think they're doing okay. I mean, Tyler's doing fine. He's averaging 20 points a game still and almost 8-9 boards a game. So it's okay. They're 6-4, I think. They've only lost to 2 St. Louis teams, lost to 2 teams outside of the area. We're all right. It was a very, very frustrating game last night.
Yeah, those things happen. And in my opinion, one of the lost arts of all levels of basketball is that entry pass to the big guy. It's got to be timing. It's got to come quick because a split second and the opening's not there anymore. And I see it all the time where a guard gets the ball and relaxes for a second and he loses the opportunity to get it into his big guy who's cutting open at a certain time, and that second allows the defense to catch up. It's a tough thing, needs to be practiced more, and it's a timing thing between the passer and the receiver, certainly.
Absolutely, it is a lost art. You can't just throw it to the wing anymore and say, get big. It just doesn't work that way.
Right.
Everybody's big, and everybody's fronting their man, and it does have to be timed. It has to be timed perfectly, and it's tough. It's tough. It was just a frustrating game last night. Man, it was just brutal to watch.
One last question back to Tuesday night at the Missouri game. Does Tyler do a lot of talking to the other recruits that are there? Do they talk to him? I know this kid Beal is on the radar, and he was at the game. Is Tyler comfortable trying to pitch the U of I to some of these kids?
I don't know that he's comfortable doing that. I mean, Tyler's pretty quiet, he talked to all and said hi to them, and I think Leonard was there, and Brad was, or you're right, Beal was there, and I'm sure they may have even exchanged phone numbers or and be texting now. I'm not sure, but he's not a real what you want to call salesman up front kind of guy. He's more, let me just do my thing back here and I'll get the job done.
Okay. Well, a little growth and maturity, we'll pound that into him a little because it certainly helps, I think. And he's going to want the best players to play with to go to the national championship. He'll find his way, I'm sure. And I'm sure he'll help out the coach and staff along those lines also.
Oh, yeah. And that will come with a little maturity. That's right. And he'll pick that up. I have no doubt that's all part of the growth of, turning into a young man, and I'm sure he'll be proud of his university once he gets near the end and be able to speak highly of it. So you betcha. And he does talk to the kids that are coming in with him. I know that. I know they exchange text messages and they're keeping track of each other. So that's good.
Terrific. Chris, thanks a real lot for dropping on, and thanks for the update on the Missouri game, a firsthand look, and we'll be staying in touch, and have a good, healthy, happy new year to you and your entire family.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, Chris. Thanks a lot. That was Chris Griffey, the father of Tyler Griffey, one of our recruits coming in next fall. We got to take a break, and then we're going to be coming back with Brad Sturdy from Rivals to talk about a lot of the high school holiday tournaments. You're listening to Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, Illini fans. Looking to win in the game of real estate? There's never been a better time to buy a new home. Interest rates are low, there are plenty of homes to choose from, and ultimately real estate is a great investment. Greg Fisher of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is experienced, professional, and dedicated. As your realtor, Greg can help you find the perfect new home. Contact Greg today at 847-681-4173 or learn more at gregshouses.com. Buy or sell with the man who knows his X's and O's. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT LLC.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find the location nearest you.
You'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
Racing the speed limit on the information superhighway. TalkZone.com.
TalkZone.com. Hello, Illini Nation. This is Coach Bruce Webb. Real Illini fans chat with Boz and Mr. G. Mondays, noon to 2 Central Time on TalkZone.com.
Thanks, Coach Weber. You are listening to Talking Illini on TalkZone.com with Boz and Mr. G. Give us a call at 888-463-6748. Or email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. In a moment, we're hoped to be joined by Brad Sturdy from Rivals as he makes his way from gym to gym, tournament to tournament, following Illini recruits. And he'll give us an update of how the recruits who have signed are doing, the recruits from 2010 that have committed are doing. Well, we have one commitment, of course, Tracy Abrams from 2011 also, and I think Brad was at Tracy's game this morning, probably getting a few interviews from Tracy and the coach before he hits the car and heads to Pontiac. And we also hope to have Tracy's coach on at about 1:40, Mike Flaherty from Mount Carmel. So it's going to be a fun day talking hoops, talking Illini. And we covered the Missouri game with Chris Griffey, Tyler's dad, a few moments ago. They were guests of the Illini behind the bench there. And, you know, I was watching that game and I thought, like, wow, you know, this is too easy. Again, we were making shots. They weren't. We were running in transition. We were getting some rebounds. And as Chris said, we were very, very well prepared. Missouri likes to press, and that really didn't seem a problem for us. And, of course, the way to break the press is to be aggressive and try to score yourself on the fast break. So we're now glad to welcome in for the second time to Talking Illini. I'm just trying to figure out the okay, thank you, Dave. It's hard to do everything here all by yourself, but we're now proud to welcome back to Talking Illini, Brad Sturdy. Brad, saw a nice game this morning, huh?
Yeah, it was good. Watched Tracy Abrams from Mount Carmel play. actually just heading out to head over to Pontiac now.
Okay, well, we plan on keeping you for a long time. How long is the drive to Pontiac?
Probably about 45 minutes.
Okay, because we got a lot to talk about. We've got emailers sending questions in. Let's start with Tracy and the 2011 class and kind of work our way back. Give Illini Nation a lowdown on Tracy Abrams, his game. People are saying that this is the quote-unquote pure point guard that we need as opposed to the combo guard. So give us the Brad Sturdy scouting report on Tracy Abrams.
Well, I think with Abrams, you see a kid who's explosive. He's quick. He can get to the basket. He has excellent court vision. He has the ball on a string. He's about 6 foot tall. He has good, obviously he has great point guard instincts too. Now, sometimes he has to score sometimes for his team to be successful. He had 19 this morning, but he can score. He gets the basket, finishes, finds open people. He's very, he's just an impressive kid. He's also a kid that other kids like to play with, which is another reason that he's, so highly sought after.
And how's his defense?
He does a good job defensively. He can apply some pressure on the ball. Obviously, he needs, just like any sophomore in high school, there are areas where he's going to need to improve, not relaxing off the ball. As tendency is for kids in high school to relax when they're off the ball. When they're on the ball, they can guard it. But then they get away from the ball and they kind of relax. Mal Carmel plays a little 1-3-1. He plays at the top sometimes where he's in passing lanes, and sometimes he plays at the bottom depending on what lineup they have in the game. So he's got some versatility. He can do a lot of things on both ends.
Brad, do you know where Barry, Illinois is?
Barry, Illinois?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. That's good, because we've got a fan there, and he's emailed us. His name is Mitch, and he's asking about the 2011 class. And we know a lot of the names. Mike Shaw and Henley play together on De La Salle. A guy named Jason Randall is in the mix. Let's start with, before we get there, tell us quickly about the game you just saw. Mount Carmel won, I believe.
Yes, Mount Carmel won. I believe the final was around 48-40. Abrams had 19 points. It was really slow. Normal West played a 2-3 zone and just kind of packed it in. They're big, and they don't really nobody pushed the ball. Mount Carmel tried to push the ball a few times and didn't get. They got back on defense pretty well. They had some size inside, so it was hard to penetrate against the zone. So. And nobody shot well, so it made for a really slow-paced game. In fact, at the end of three quarters, it was, I believe the score was 27-24. So in the fourth quarter, they put up a lot of points just to get to 48-40.
And who will Mount Carmel play next? I know that game's probably going on right now, but what are the odds of who they'll play and how far they'll advance in Pontiac? Who else might be there? I'm peeking, right. Rather.
They are seeded third. And tomorrow they will play Washington. Washington hammered Geneseo this morning by 31 points. Washington's real physical. They're a small team, but they're quick. They play tough, hard-nosed defense, and so it'll be an interesting game. I say that game's at 9 a.m. in the morning. So Washington, of course, has another Division I prospect in Dyrika Sims-Edwards. He's a senior. So you're looking at a pretty good matchup in the morning.
Okay, great. And now our question from Barry, Illinois, he wants to get into the 2011 class, and so do I. Let's start with De La Salle and Shaw and Henley. Obviously, I think, Shaw is who everybody would like to have, and the coaches will probably wait and hold one out for him for as long as he wants to wait. Is that a correct assumption?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's a kid he's a priority. They're going to wait for him. They're going to have a spot for him whenever he's ready to commit, as long as, he's showing interest, If by some chance he would, eliminate Illinois or something, which I don't see happening, then obviously they'd move on. But generally speaking, he is a kid that they're going to go down to the wire for. You really don't know. I talked to him the other day. It's hard to say when he's going to commit. He says he wants to see some other places, see some different things. But you know, you just never know.
And tell the fans that are listening who maybe haven't seen Shaw play a little bit about his game.
He's a 6'8" forward. He's athletic. He's a strong kid. He's well built. Got a nice lower base. Obviously, he needs to get stronger in his upper body, just like every other sophomore kid. But he does have a nice build. He can really shoot the ball. Sometimes he falls in love with the jump shot and shoots, likes to shoot from three. You'd like to see him be a little more aggressive, but he does have good footwork when he gets the ball. He can handle it. He can pass it. He runs the floor well. Most people consider him a top 10 prospect in the class of 2011.
Do you?
Yes, I think so. Nationally, he's a top 10 prospect. I think in the state of Illinois, he's in that mix in that top two. Probably there's four or five guys in that 2011 class that are kind of a notch above the rest of them, and I think he's probably in that top two with Abrams.
Great. And speaking of Abrams, a lot has been written over the last week since Tracy's commitment about their relationship, his relationship with Shaw, and you've written a little bit about what effect that may or may not have ultimately on Shaw's decision.
Yeah, well, obviously, Mike said he'd love to play with Tracy. I think that's there's no doubt about that, and Tracy would love to play with Mike. I know Tracy is working on working on him. You know, he'd love for him to commit, and I know Jared Sauer's working very hard on Mike Shaw as well. So, you know, I think that there is a connection there. He's friends. Abrams is friends with Shaw. He's friends with the other guys in that class, and so that gives Illinois a good in, and that's why another reason, besides just his talent level, that it was so important to get a kid like Abrams on board early.
Do you remember Terry Cummings from DePaul?
Yeah.
I kind of think that I said this last week to Mr. G and Kendall Gill that, you know, I've seen Shaw a couple times in person, and he at 6'8", he looks like he could grow into what Terry Cummings was physically. Is that a fair comparison?
I think so. I think that's not a bad comparison. He's the kind of – that could be a similar thing for Shaw. He's probably a – could be he's a four man, but I think, you know, you're looking at a kid that maybe at some point could be a, you know, if he gets to the next level and the NBA could be a three type player, depending on how he fills out or if he grows anymore.
Right. The reason I bring that up is because a while ago I recall reading that there might be an issue with Shaw, you know, not wanting to be a four and play down low and be a big man at the next level. And with all of our guards and Crandall Heads and Jeremy Richmonds at 6'6", 6'7", that, you know, there might not be, you know, the logical place for Shaw is a four, but, you know, he might want to be a three. Is that going to be a problem in a final decision?
No, I don't think so. I think he is I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think he knows that he's got to be a forward, and I think that Illinois is selling him on the fact that, you know, he can be a guy who steps out on the floor, too, and does some different things. For, you know, as a four-man of the Illinois offense, that was, you know, same type of position that Roger Powell played as well. So, you know, and he became a small forward, obviously, in the NBA, and he got the chance to go out on the floor. He got the chance to put the ball on the floor and dribble and take the ball to the basket and do some different things and shoot perimeter jumpers and as part of the offense. So it's not an offense where you're going to have a guy where he would have to just stay in the post all the time. So I think that's why it's more appealing than maybe, you know, even with all the perimeter guys that are committed.
If you're a betting man, what kind of odds would you put on us getting Shaw?
I don't want to put any odds on it. I will say that Illinois is in good position. I think they've done a good job recruiting him so far. The Abrams commitment has helped them a ton in that one. He definitely is looking very seriously at Illinois. He's one of the top schools on his list. So, you know, it'll just be a kind of a wait-and-see thing, but I think they're in good position.
And any indication how long a wait it's going to be? Is he going to wait till, like, next summer or into end of his junior year even?
He really has not given a timeline officially on the record at all. As far as when he's going to commit, he said he wants to see a few things. There has been some scuttlebutt that, you know, Illinois is in good position. Also been some stuff that, you know, North Carolina's gotten involved. So you know, it's so early, it's hard to say. You know, not many people thought, a week before Abrams committed that he was going to commit that soon. So you just kind of never know. You just got to keep the LIS, keep recruiting him, and we'll see what happens.
Right. The fans certainly, you know, want the dominoes to drop just like they did, you know, a year ago when who was first, DJ and then Brandon, then Joseph Bertrand, and it'd certainly be a nice holiday gift if another shoe falls in our favor with one of these 2011 guys. Now, speaking of that, there's another player on Mount Carmel whose name has been mentioned recently. I'm not sure what year he is and what position he plays. Hill Bay?
Malcolm Hill Bay. He's a 2012. He's a freshman.
Oh, okay.
He's a small guard. He's left-handed. He's got a nice shooter. He's about 5'8", 5'9". He is quick. He and Abrams kind of share the ball a little bit. He comes off the bench for Mount Carmel, and he gets a significant amount of time. He's definitely a prospect that people are going to hear more about as the over the next 4 years, for sure.
Okay, that's good to know. I have a little list of 2012 guys we'll go back to, but I'll put him in that column then. And now back to De La Salle, this guy Dre Henley. He's a sophomore also?
Yes.
Okay.
Dre is about a 6'6", four small. He's more. Probably plays power forward in high school, but he projects as more of a wing player, a three down the road, possibly a guy who can step out. He's kind of a point forward. He's a very good ball handler, good passer, and really does a nice job with that. So I think he's he's a kid that people are looking at a lot. He's got a lot of interest from schools. North Carolina, when they came to see Shaw, they did like what they saw from Henley, I'm told. And so he's got a lot of places, a lot of teams around the country looking at him right now.
But few offers as of now?
No, SIU has offered him Southern right now. So I think that's the main offer that he has at this point.
And I read where he's projected maybe to get as big as 6'8", 6'9"?
Yes, he's actually got some people in his family who are, they said, are near 7 foot tall. So I'm not quite sure the relation, but yeah, they're thinking that he could grow it to be 6'8", 6'9", maybe even 6'10". So obviously that would make him even more of a more appealing prospect.
And is the staff like waiting just to see him more, or maybe waiting on some of the other guys at that position that they have offered before they might make an offer to him?
I think it's just there's a lot of things that go on in recruiting, and I think sometimes when you have a kid who's a can't miss kid who's going to be a no brainer, I think you offer him early. I think sometimes with kids that you're not quite, it's not necessarily you're not sure about their talent. Maybe there's something else involved that you want to make sure is taken care of. And so I think in this case, they just want to see him play some more, see him play out on the floor a little bit next spring and summer, probably before anything like that would happen.
Okay, good. And now Mitch's last name that he mentioned in his email for us, and we're talking with Brad Sturdy of Rivals on Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G, and you can call in and ask Brad a question about recruiting or about the team at 888-463-6748, or even email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. Brad, the last name Mitch asks on his email is about Chasen Randall. Of course, with the Tracy Abrams commitment, they're probably going to want another guard in that class, but there's two or three that they like. So tell us about Randall, and also Beal is in that class, and Stewart. Where might the dominoes fall there?
It's just hard to say. I think I talked to Chasen the other day. He definitely he still likes Illinois. He said the Abrams commitment won't have any effect on his decision. I would expect him to make a decision, according to him, he told me that he would make a decision after the summer. So after the summer would probably be the time when he would make his decision.
And describe to the fans, like compare Randall's game with Abrams and even get into Beal.
I think with the case, Chasen Randall is a kid that is, he's a team guy. He can score. He's really improved his jump shot. It's gotten better, but he's a guy who really does a lot of little things. He guards, he gets in passing lanes, he rebounds, he passes the ball well. He knows how to move without the ball. He's just one of those kind of, he's a glue guy, I think. I don't necessarily, I think he's athletic, but I don't necessarily see him maybe being a college star, but I think he's going to be an extremely good college player. So I guess we'll just have to see how he, how things develop, but I think he's a kid that Illinois likes a lot. They think he can play one or two and think he can be a good, really good four-year player.
And then how about Beal?
Beal is a scorer. He can really shoot the ball. He's a kid who can do a lot of things. He's 6'3". Offensively is where he stands out with his ability to score. He had a 52-point game earlier this year. So you're looking at a kid who's really a talented kid who can do a lot of good things. I think with Beal, it's going to be hard. He's from St. Louis. He's not an Illinois kid, so it's a little bit different. It doesn't maybe get the buzz that the other kids get around Illini Nation, but he is a kid that would be an excellent fit because one thing they lack in all the kids that are committed is they don't have a kid who's a pure shooter, and I think Beal would be a fit as a kid who can be a pure shooter.
So if they were to take one more guard with Abrams and you were making the decision, who would you take between those two guys?
Well, I think you'd take either one. I think you'd take either one of those kids. The first one who wants to pull the trigger, I think they're going to take. So, I don't think you necessarily say, I want this kid more or this kid more. Both of them can be a really good fit to what they want to do at Illinois. They'll just be different fits, So I don't think you say, we want Beal more or we want Randall more. I think they want, the first one to pull the trigger is going to be the guy who ends up getting a scholarship.
And is Stewart in that mix also? I believe he's got an offer, doesn't he? Or
yeah, Stewart had an offer. I think that he is viewed as more of a point guard, so it's going to be, I think, at the next level. You would have two guys in the case of he and Abrams who are both 5'11" or maybe 6 foot tall range, and I'm not sure the fit is there for Donovan Stewart right now. Now, he's a tremendous high school player, and he's going to end up playing, in a high major if he chooses to do that. So he's a kid that is good, not slighting him, but I think the Abrams commitment probably, at least for the time being, has put him maybe on the back burner for Illinois.
So what is the protocol there? I mean, do they call him and tell him, sorry, your offer's off the table for now, or how, what if he would have called, an hour after Abrams and said, I'm in?
Well, I think then you'd have to, there's a fine line there. You have to make sure you communicate with the kids that you have offers out to and keep him abreast of what's going on. I think, obviously, in case Donovan, I'm not sure he was overly thrilled that Abrams committed because it took away an option for him, but I think you just communicate with him, let him know what the deal is, that, right now that's the kid we're taking. We still like you. And you never know what can happen down the road, so you keep recruiting a kid like that. But I don't think that you can take a commitment from him right now just because of the situation at point guard, with already having a point guard in that class, and just the sheer number of guards that you already have committed to.
Okay, well, that answers that question. Brad, Mitch from Barry has a follow-up question about going even further back to 2012, 2013. So I'm going to put that on hold a second because there's still some names in the 2011 class. Because we have potentially six rides to offer that year, correct?
Yes, it could be. I don't see them giving six. If they have them available, I think five would probably be the max, unless it's some, a can't-miss kid that they don't want to turn down, obviously. But I think you're looking at probably a five-ride class if they can get the right kids. But I also don't think they're going to reach. If they have three kids that they really like and they've got some, quality kids in 2012, they may spread those scholarships out. So it's just going to depend on how it all shakes out over the next couple of years.
Right. You know, I think they that's a good point, because they're kind of bunched and they're probably looking to spread a little out and get a little balance. And, for example, if they give all six that year and everybody stays, nobody leaves to go pro or nobody transfers or nobody has grade problems, that would only leave one left for 2012. So somewhere along the line, they got to start balancing things out.
Yeah, and probably if you, with Stan Simpson redshirting, it probably leaves you with zero in 2012, because he's going to end up with the 2013 class.
Yeah, good point there also. And I want to, I'm jotting down, because later when we're done with the recruiting, I want to talk about the team and going into Purdue tomorrow night, and also talk about Stan Simpson, who I'm very high on, and a lot of fans don't know of and haven't seen him play, and I know you've seen him in practice, and I like the fact that hopefully he'll be able to redshirt this year and get an extra year under his belt of conditioning and getting bigger and stronger, because, you know, from what I saw his game last year in high school, and he's a fairly young player, didn't start playing until late, that he's got some tools that could develop, and he could develop into something special. But we'll get to Stan a few minutes down the road. But let's get back to 2011 now. We've talked about the guards, and we talked about Henley and Shaw. The next name two names I want to talk about are Blackshear and, tell me about Blackshear first before I hit you with the other name.
Wayne Blackshear's, 6'4", 6'5". He's a wing. He's played a lot inside last year, but this year he's kind of got more out on the floor, and he's really done a good job improving his ball handling. He's an elite-level athlete. He's got a great body. If you watch him play, the first name that comes to mind for me is Nick Anderson.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, so, he's got that kind of that talent level, perhaps. So he's gonna be a kid that's going to be recruited by everybody. I think... in his case, I think he's the one kid that I don't really get a positive vibe for with Illinois. I think now he's visited Illinois and he's got them on his list and he's talked about them. But I think there's some concern about the number of players that play his position, from Crandall Head and Jeremy Richmond, and Joseph Bertrand, whoever you want to, Brandon Paul, all the wing guards that they have. And so I think that's a concern for him coming to Illinois, but you never know what's going to happen between now and the time that he's going to commit. He said he told me he's not going to commit till the fall before his senior year, so that's almost 2 years away. So we'll kind of see what happens with him.
Now, we talked about the projections on Henley going from 6'6" to 6'8" or 9". Any of these other guys, Abram, Shaw, Blackshear, are they done growing? Do we have any idea? Are they going to grow a few more inches? Because we're now recruiting so young that, you never know.
Yeah, you really don't know. I think if they're not big enough to play, then you can't offer them a scholarship. I think Bradley Beal, they've talked about him having some growth in him. He looks like a kid who's going to grow another couple inches and maybe be in that 6'5", 6'6" range possibly. Blackshear, I don't see him growing a lot more just because of the development that they have physically. You just don't see a lot of growing from kids that are that developed physically.
The one kid whose name plays a backseat to Shaw and Blackshear, who I understand the coaches are very high on and would take in a second if he commits, I believe he's got an offer, and that's Sam Thompson?
Yes. Yep. Sam Thompson has an Illinois offer, also an offer from Oregon State.
Okay. And so now tell the fans who aren't familiar with Sam about his game.
Sam is a 6'6", long, extremely long, extremely athletic kid that is a sophomore at Whitney Young. He doesn't see a great deal of time, usually in that 10 minutes a game, 12 minutes a game. Whitney Young has so many guards throughout, up and down their roster, that sometimes kids get kind of stuck on the back burner. You look at it happened a little bit there last year with a kid named Anthony Johnson that's a junior now and seeing a lot more playing time. But Sam's extremely talented and gifted. He's physically very weak. He needs to get stronger. But he has all of those skills that you can't teach. The length, the athleticism, being 6'6" and so forth. So he's got a chance to be a special player in that 2011 class.
Now the other name, I believe a forward position, a kid from the Peoria area. His name has been bandied about a bit. Andrew Jordan.
Yeah, Andrew Jordan's a 6'5" kid. He's again, he's another kid who plays a little bit inside, developing his ball skills as he goes. Had a nice year, Peoria Woodruff so far. They've played quite well, probably better than expected. He's he's a very good athlete. He's got the body. Sometimes I think the next thing for him is just going to be bringing the effort every day and, you know, getting after it and playing with some passion. Sometimes he goes through the motions, but there's no questioning his level of athleticism.
And does he have some growth potential on that 6'5", do you know?
You know, it's hard to say. He's a pretty developed kid. He's pretty strong, pretty athletic, so sometimes it's hard to see him growing a lot.
And where would you put him on the pecking order with, Thompson, Blackshear, we're putting, say Thompson, Blackshear, and Henley, we're putting Shaw above them.
Well, I mean, I think he's in that mix. I think Thompson and Blackshear have offers, so I think they're obviously a little bit higher on the pecking order than some of the other guys. But, I mean, he's definitely a kid that's always been on. He's been on campus a few times. They've been out to see him over the past couple of years. So he's definitely a kid that they're recruiting and they have interest in.
But he does not have an offer right now.
No, he does not.
Okay. And a new name that I read about over the weekend, a kid from St. Louis named Miner, from East St. Louis.
Yeah, Keontae Miner is a 6'3" guard. He's from East St. Louis. He plays AAU with Myers Leonard for Team Ramey, Terrell Ramey's team out of St. Louis. Extremely athletic kid. He has played for the East St. Louis football team that, you know, obviously won the state title. He's probably, when they talk about him, he's got a great body. He's extremely athletic. Probably needs to work on his shot and his ball handling, the ball skills. And a lot of people project him to be one of the best football prospects in the Midwest in that class. So it'll be interesting to see whether he wants to play basketball or football. But he was a visitor for Illinois down at the Bragging Rights game a week ago.
Okay, and the final name of 2011 for now is, I think he's from Bloomington, Hordeman?
Hayden Hordeman, yeah, 2011 kid, Bloomington Central Catholic. I'll actually see him later tonight. He is a kid, great motor. He's quick, he's athletic, he's not a great leaper, but he's a tremendous shooter, and that's really what he's known for. He's a kid who can put points on the board in a hurry. There were AAU games this summer, I saw him throw up 10 threes in a game. Plays with a great, great energy, never slows down. I think that's one of the things that makes him kind of a special kid, is that he has such a great, he would be a wonderful kid to have in your program no matter where he ends up. He's already got offers from Illinois State and Eastern and mostly mid-major schools right now, but he's got interest from all of the Big Ten and also Notre Dame and Oklahoma.
But no offer yet from the Illini?
No.
Okay. So the offers of the 2011 class, Beal and Randall have offers. I forgot. Stewart, does he have any? Or we're not sure.
He did have an offer at one time.
Yeah, okay, okay. And then as far as the big guys, we just have Blackshear and Thompson right now.
Blackshear, Thompson, Shaw.
Right, right. Okay. You know, there's one other guy. We got to break at the top of the hour here to pay some bills, Brad, but we want you to hang on. We got a lot more to talk about. One other guy I want to cover in the 2011 class. We'll jump around to 12, 13. I also want to talk to you a little bit about, the 10s and the 9s and the teams. So hopefully you got a little more time for us on your way to Pontiac. And you're listening to Boz and Brad Sturdy on Talking Illini. Give us a call, 888-463-6748. Email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. We'll be back in one moment.
Get one-on-one information from some of the best-trained professionals in the financial services business. Stephen King is with AXA Advisors, part of the global company helping 50 million people reach their financial goals. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 847-291-3669. That's 847-291-3669. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC. 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
You buy the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you buy the car you want at RizzoCars.com.